From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. Today, a Tallahassee district court held a hearing on a lawsuit against a new abortion law in Florida that's been scheduled to take effect July 1st. Planned Parenthood filed the lawsuit, claiming the law is unconstitutional. The measure increases regulatory requirements of abortion clinics, restricts clinics from receiving Medicaid reimbursements for non-abortion services, and changes the definition of pregnancy trimesters. We'll hear from supporters and opponents and explore whether this week's U.S. Supreme Court ruling striking down a Texas abortion law could impact policy here in Florida. Plus, as much as 40% of new teachers in Florida leave the job within their first 5 years. One study says the state's teacher turnover rate costs the state tens of millions of dollars a year. We'll explore what's behind teacher job dissatisfaction and efforts to address educator recruitment and retention. First, this news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. State records indicate that as much as 40% of new teachers in Florida leave the profession or go on to teach in another state within their first 5 years on the job. Florida's overall educator attrition rate is higher than the national average, but a 2014 study from the Washington, D.C.-based national policy and advocacy organization Alliance for Excellent Education estimates that from 2008 to 2009, teacher turnover cost the state between $61.4 and $133.6 million. Recruiting and retaining teacher talent is a nationwide problem. For the remainder of the hour, we'll be exploring the problem of high teacher turnover, why educators say they leave the job, and efforts to recruit and retain teaching talent here in Southwest Florida. Joining me now is president of the Alliance for Excellent Education, Bob Weiss. He's also a former West Virginia governor and congressman. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live. Well, maybe we don't have him with us, but joining me in studio right now is Angela Pruitt. She's Director of Human Resources with the Lee County School District. Welcome, Angela.
Thank you.
Also with me in studio is Mark Castellano. He's President of the Teachers Association of Lee County. Mark, great to have you with us.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
And yes, we do have Kathy here with us as well. Excellent. Dr. Kathy Jo Picura-Couture. She's a professor in the Nina B. Hollis Institute of Educational Reform at Stetson University. Welcome back to the program.
Why, thanks. Thanks for having me.
And Bob Weiss, it looks like we have you on the line now. Do we?
Yes, you do.
Oh, excellent. Good, good, good. Glad to have you with us, Governor. I wanted to start off with you. Can you tell us about the work and mission of the Alliance for Excellent Education, just to start off?
The Alliance is a nonprofit organization and policy and advocacy organization in Washington, D.C., and our mission is that every child should graduate from high school ready for college and career. And obviously critical to that is making sure that the teaching workforce is there to provide the learning experiences so that students can do that. And that's the context in which we periodically do this report on what is the cost of teacher attrition, because what we find is that we're not only losing great teacher potential, even worse, we're losing student potential because students depend upon teaching for that learning process.
And tell us about your nonprofit's 2014 study titled On the Path to Equity, Improving the Effectiveness of Beginning Teachers. This includes a state-by-state comparison?
It does include a state-by-state comparison. And basically what we did was we took a look at the cost of teacher attrition, losing when a teacher leaves. And basically this is a conservative estimate because it only deals with the human resource costs, including the recruiting and processing new hires. It also looks at what does it cost every time you bring in a new teacher, what does it cost to help orient that teacher and go through what's known as induction, providing the mentoring for that teacher, the training, the development. What this does not include, and I think it's very important, it doesn't include the literally millions of dollars that the state of Florida and every state actually spends on preparing that teacher, particularly in the public institutions. But for the state of Florida, nationally, we estimated that what we found as we surveyed was that all the states together lose about half a million U.S. teachers a year at a conservative cost of $2.2 billion annually. And in Florida, that could be as high as $133 million. But as I say, that does not reflect when a teacher leaves the classroom and leaves the profession, the costs that we are lost in the training of that teacher.
All right. And how did Florida fare in that state-by-state comparison?
Florida actually is a little about the same as nationally, maybe a little higher in terms of 40 to 50% of teachers leaving the profession over 5 years. It, we've seen in during the recession of 2008 and in years following, we saw a little better retention of teachers in the country, but because I think they're probably trapped somewhat by the recession. But we're seeing now that that retention rate is probably going back to where it was, and that's a great tragedy. Because remember, if you're talking about any kind of enterprise, nonprofit, public or private, anytime you're losing 50% of your highly trained workforce over a 5 year period, that's a very serious matter. And I think what's also important, and I know the others on the line will be commenting on this, is what we have to be about in this country is increasing the professionalism of teachers, making sure people recognize that they're professionals. And if you want professionals, you're going to have to treat them, and to keep them as professionals, you're going to have to treat them as professionals.
Bob, there's a lot of, it looks like, agreement and head nodding going on with the folks in studio here. Angela, here in Lee County schools, as he was talking about, you know, what was going on nationally and in Florida, I mean, are you seeing that same pattern here locally?
Absolutely. We track our cohorts, and the numbers are right with what he's saying in Lee County in terms of the teachers that we're losing. And I consider it a crisis situation.
All right. That was actually going to be one of my questions. I keep seeing the word crisis used in media reports. That's not an overstatement, you're saying?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
And Mark, what are some of the reasons that you think teachers might feel dissatisfied with a job, why they might be leaving the profession?
I think there's a couple of points to be made. Bob made a great point about the professionalism. Teachers ask that they expect coming out when they go into the workforce, into the teaching force, they expect to be treated as professionals. And they discover all too often that they're not. And that gets very frustrating to them. And then the preparation and the opportunity to have to receive the necessary training, it becomes a little bit overwhelming because, as my mentor shared with me, was you don't learn to teach until you start teaching. You learn to teach by teaching. And so people coming out of college thinking, or second career changers thinking, that they're going to come into the classroom and be able to know how to teach right off the bat, they're not. And so there just gets to be a point of frustration when you feel like you're not being prepared the way you need to be.
Right, right. Angela?
I was going to say, and you know, teaching is the only profession that I'm aware of that we expect a first-year teacher to be just as proficient as mm-hmm. a 30-year teacher. And, you know, we need that on some level, because we can't let any group of students or student, you know, not get what they need from their teachers. So it definitely, I just totally agree with Mark and Bob about the professionalism.
And Dr. Pakira Couture at the Nina B. Hollis Institute of Educational Reform up at Stetson University, is this an issue that's looked at or studied?
Oh, yes. We look at this a lot, actually. And we have a lot of professional development schools that we work with, and so we work with teachers on a daily basis. And I think one of the nice things when you do put a student through, or a pre-service teacher through a good, rigorous program, you get them out in the field a lot earlier, so then they have, like, we start our students out there in their freshman year in the classrooms working with teachers, and then have them go through 4 years of, like, training to become a teacher. So they are, I think, a little better equipped when they get there that first year, and they are a first-year teacher, but as I've agreed pretty much with everything everyone said. I do think Florida is a little bit different in the sense that we do have, and I think this is one of the attrition rate problems, we do have a lot of people who are we call it backdoor teachers, where they get a bachelor's degree and they have a bachelor's degree in a certain subject, and they can take a test and they can just go right in and teach. And those teachers, we found, do not last as long as teachers who have went through rigorous teacher training programs. So we really think that that's adds to the crisis here in Florida and why we think some of those rates must be a little higher. But I definitely want to go back to that idea of professionalism, because I think right now our teachers are really getting slammed either by their school boards or in the local papers or maybe at the government level, that there's all this pressure on these test scores, and it's not necessarily always the teachers, you know. I always say a doctor, which we try to say these are professionals, you know, if you put in 30 or 40 patients in their waiting room and expected one doctor to diagnose, treat, without any help of anyone else, each one of those patients, it just wouldn't happen. But pretty much that's what we do to teachers all the time. We say, you know, here's 30 kids. They come from an array of backgrounds. You know, many of them come with a lot of baggage when they get in the classroom, but yet they have to meet, all of them have to meet that exact same standards. And the districts are feeling the pressure, and they're, you know, asking teachers to follow a kind of a set curriculum because they're not getting teachers all on the same level. And then it takes away from that professionalism because these are people who have trained for so long. And then they're getting beat up in the, you know, they're getting beat up in the media. They're getting beat up in their paychecks because districts are not giving them raises. They don't have tenure anymore. A lot of that kind of stuff is all happening, and it's just, I think they feel overwhelmed. And I've had teachers that are 30 years, 25-year teachers that say, enough is enough. I can find another job where I can be happier, which makes me really sad because they were very powerful people, but they don't have the power that they used to have, and they definitely don't have the respect.
Cassie is a teacher here in Lee County, and she writes to us on Facebook, "We spend more time testing and teaching to the test than actually teaching and being creative. They won't give you raises unless you let go of your tenure and switch to performance pay, which is a year contract at a time. Benefits aren't good. I can't afford the nearly $800 a month to add to my husband or my future child." I just wanted to touch on the final thing in her comment there, and that's the issue of pay. I know that that's something that came up, Bob Weiss, in your report. At the end of the day, though, I mean, that kind of comes down to the state legislature and what they allocate.
Go ahead,
Bob, and then Angela will jump in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. No, it does come down to what pay and what kind of compensation. I think it is important to point out that almost every study I've looked at, pay is an issue. It is not the only issue. And so working conditions, the attitude, what kind of support you're getting from your colleagues or your colleagues are able to give you, a lot of these factors go into it. But pay does become, and I think when a legislator is having to make those decisions, he or she ought to be looking at the data, for instance, that we're talking about right here. If you're going to lose that teacher within 5 years, then, and you're looking at $130 million a year going out because you're having to reprocess, bring new teachers in, that's a significant cost. And that's why it's one of the things that we recommend in here is that in addition to talking about pay, we recommend a very comprehensive induction program. Just if you're going through teacher preparation for 4 years and you go into the classroom, a state that has an induction program such as has been discussed about here where you're actually mentoring that teacher for up to sometimes 3 years, you not only get a teacher that stays longer, you get a teacher that reaches their maximum capacity in 5 years instead of seven. In other words, they're now becoming that quality teacher much faster, and that's when you begin to see the real return on investment. But you're going to have to be willing to make that investment.
Do you want to piggyback on that, Angela?
I did, actually. You know, it is a very complex issue, but I wanted to go back to something that was said earlier about in Florida and the teachers that are not prepared going into the classroom, you know, alternatives certification programs. Mm-hmm. And the reason that in Florida, I know specifically in Lee County, that I think that that occurs is because our state universities are graduating less and less education majors every year. So we have less of a pool to draw from. So it's kind of a self-perpetuating. Why would I want to go into teaching when I'm not being treated as a professional, when it's not a profession that is seen that way? Mm-hmm. So then we have these non-prepared teachers. You know, it's just this vicious cycle that continues.
Right, right. Kathy, when we had spoken a few weeks ago, we'd kind of talked about this perceived disconnect between educators and lawmakers. I was hoping you could speak more to that and a petition initiative that we had discussed.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about we are having a big problem, and this is why you're seeing less and less at the university level of teachers that are not coming out of our systems, is because the legislation has just decided that they put these arbitrary numbers on these teacher certification exams. And the teacher certification exams, we used to have at Stetson, we have a pretty high clientele. you know, high SAT scores, high ACT scores. We have kids with, you know, high SAT scores, and they're not able to pass the teacher certification exams, and they're having a real difficult time. And they're really expensive. They're like I know they're over $100. Right. I want to say $125, maybe $180 a test. And they have to take three of these tests as they go through. And then the price goes up if you don't pass it the first time. And we're seeing our numbers decrease because, one, sometimes the students can't afford to take the test, or two, they're not passing it. And so we're seeing those numbers decline. So we wanted to just say that I would like to see if we've had legislators that have taken, like, even the FCAT and not been able to pass the FCAT. And there's really no empirical studies that I've seen that show that your ability to pass that test makes you a better teacher. It's just this idea that if you pass a test, you're going to be a good teacher, and it has nothing to do with that. So, you know, an elementary school teacher right now on the mathematics section of the test has to do algebra and some trigonometry as well. And geometry. Well, if you're teaching elementary, the likelihood that you're going to get that high of math is not, you know, it's not going to happen. And not saying that they shouldn't have some basic knowledge of these kinds of things too, but I don't think it's the be-all, end-all. And the, like I said, the cut scores were arbitrarily chosen. There was no scientific that I could find evidence of why they chose those numbers. And we went from having 90% passing rate to, I think this past year we had like 62%. So you just lost a huge chunk of potential teachers.
Right. We're taking a look at the problem of teacher turnover in Florida and throughout the nation, really. We're speaking with Bob Wise of the Alliance for Excellent Education, Angela Pruitt with the Lee County School District, Mark Castellano with the Teachers Association of Lee County, and Kathy Jo Picura-Couture with Stetson University. Listeners can join the conversation with your comments and questions. If you're a teacher or if you've left the profession, give us a call and share your story. Phone lines are open at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Write to us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or tweet using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. And let's take a call right now from an anonymous caller here in Fort Myers. Anonymous, welcome to the program.
Hi, John.
Hi. You're on the air. Did you want to share a story or ask a question?
Yeah, sure. I had a bit of an experience with two different things, both for being a good teacher and both for being having a personal life. First of all, for me, being a teacher is kind of like living a double life. You have to have that pristine teacher persona and keep your personal life kind of quiet. Not saying you have to, you know, go and do horrible things on the weekend, but it's as if they want you to be perfect all the time. So you can't have that personal adult life, you know, whether it's having a few drinks with friends on the weekend or enjoying a burlesque performance or being involved in anything acceptable and legal as an adult. If someone in the school system or a parent doesn't like you, they can basically use it as a weapon to villainize you.
All right, well, thank you so much for the call and for sharing that experience with us. I also wanted to talk about specifically what's going on in Lee County to recruit and retain teachers. We spoke just very briefly yesterday, but I was surprised to hear Lee County has actually done a recruitment efforts in Puerto Rico, like other districts in Florida have.
Yes, it was very successful. We did a private event, and we secured 31 teachers. And so we will continue to use that venue to recruit. You know, one of the goals that we have is to have the teaching ranks reflect the student ranks. Now, there's always going to be about a 10-year lag, you know, for it to catch up. But even given that, we're struggling to maintain that. And so we're approaching that from, you know, lots of different angles in terms of that. But we've gone to lots of virtual type events as well to do some recruiting, gone to new venues that we haven't gone to before. So, yeah, really expanding and looking at different ways to attract teachers.
All right. And Mark, tell us a bit about your work with the FEA's, reading it right there, yes, Teacher Retention Task Force. How did you end up chairing that? And tell us about the work there.
Actually, Joanne McCall, the president of the Florida Education Association, asked me and several others to work on this committee, and I was appointed to chair the committee. So we've been working since about January on doing just gathering information and then trying to come up with strategies that can be shared statewide. One of the interesting things that I was thinking about on the way over here was we did a survey. We managed to survey 39 different districts on their teacher retention rates, teacher attrition, and then other aspects that they worked on in terms of dealing with this issue. One of the curious ones to me was exit surveys. Now, exit surveys should be of tremendous value, but of the 39 districts that we were able to interview survey, only two of them actually had viable exit surveys for their teachers. So there's no feedback or data. What I was very pleased with when I talked to our folks in human resources in Lee County was that we had just revamped our teacher, our exit survey, and really beefed it up. And so I think the data from that is going to be really helpful. One of the other things that our county has done that I think is really cool is they put together what they call a stay survey. So somebody that's going to stay, why are you staying? Mm-hmm. You know, what are the positive things that are motivating you to stay? And I think that's also going to be really valuable data.
Yeah. And Angela, from that data, what are some of the reasons folks say that they stay when we know so many other folks decide to leave?
Well, most of the time, the reason they stay is because of the leadership in the school, which has led us to really look and next year really focus in on making sure that principals understand, you know, good leadership, for lack of a better word. I mean, we're a people business. That's what education is. And if you have leadership that doesn't value the individual and doesn't understand that you need to, you know, do good things for your staff and acknowledge good things and be supportive of them and really focus on that, then we're missing the boat in, I think, one very, very important area. And I will have to say, as was mentioned earlier, on the exit survey side, there is a lot of comments that have come through about the increased pressure from the state in regard to testing and the pressures of that and the fact that, you know, their determination of whether they're a good teacher or not is based on an individual test score.
Gotcha. And Bob,
where that's given one day, you know, it's mm-hmm. a one day snapshot.
Bob Wise, I know that issue of administrative support was something that was also highlighted in your study.
Yes, I mean that's one of the clear factors that, in terms of when you do have retention, and let's also remember, into the previous speaker, one of the things I did as well for 6 years was chair the National Board of Professional Teaching Standards, and what I learned there very quickly was the climate and atmosphere in which a teacher works, and in terms of the evaluation shouldn't be about simply getting rid of folks. Evaluation is something that, if we do it right, is about improving performance. And it's not just a one-day test. It's about observation. It's about working with colleagues and getting feedback. It's about sometimes doing a video presentation with a class, but then having a positive exchange on how to improve performance, not a negative one. And it's an ongoing process, not one that just is summarized in a one-day test. So that, and I hope that we're beginning to move steadily in this country to recognizing that.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have for today's show, but thanks so much to my guests. Bob Wise is president of the nonprofit Alliance for Excellent Education and a former governor of West Virginia. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. It was a great privilege.
Dr. Kathy Jo Pecura-Couture is a professor at Stetson University's Nina B. Hollis Institute of Educational Reform. Thanks for your time also.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And with me in studio, thanks to Angela Pruitt, Director of Human Resources for the Lee County School District. Great to speak with you.
Thank you.
And Mark Castellano is President of the Teachers Association of Lee County. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you so much, John.
There's more information on today's show and past editions of the program online at wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. Continue the conversation on Facebook at WGCU Public Media and on Twitter using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. Thanks to my producers Richard Cinqui and AJ Leonard. This is WGCU FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.